We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter. This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Pods, coming at you late Wednesday night after the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. Final score, Wolves 113, Bucks 108. A lot of stuff to get to in this game. New starting lineup. D'Lo broke out tonight after a slow start to the year. Cat decided to say zero words to the refs the entire game. Big change. Vanderbilt put together a rebounding highlight reel. The Wolves took a big lead, they blew a big lead, then they took the lead back, and Anthony Edwards closed it all out down the stretch. But we are going to start tonight's show the same way we started the last one, but in a different fashion, and that's with Anthony Edwards' post-game interview after, what was that on? Was that Monday night, that game? After Monday night, for the first time ever, Ant, you know, he did something post-game between calling out his teammates and holding them accountable after that loss to the Pelicans. Tonight, Ant was back to his old goofy self after tonight's game. And I think that feels like the place to start tonight's show. So here's Anthony Edwards, who again had 25 points, 7 rebounds tonight, including a game sealing and one with 15 seconds left and 2 more free throws with 8 seconds left. Here's Ant.
And offensively, you got a little stagnant at the end of the game. I think like 5 minute stretch where you guys didn't score, but you held them off with the defense. You've done that a few times this year. What does that say about this group that you can win games on that end of the court?
Man, we lock up, man. I don't care what nobody say about us. We play the best defense in the league. I snapped that. And we're going to have 2-3 people on all defensive teams. You know what I'm saying? And I might be on one of them. You know what I'm saying? But nah, we definitely can win the games on the defensive end, man. Everybody, boxes and elbows. Make them make the next pass. You know what I'm saying? That's what it was about tonight. Don't let Giannis beat us. I mean, he still went for, I think, like 40, but we won. So the game plan works for sure.
And like just the way, like you talked about like the practice yesterday, like, you know, teams are going to lose games they don't want to lose or are disappointed in. And then, but you guys were clearly upset about that and did something about it. Like, does that show growth in a team when you respond like that, when you just come back and turn your anger into success?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you respond like that, that's big. But like I told the people after the game, that's just one game. We can come out and play like shit versus Denver. You know what I'm saying? So it's about how many games can we put together as us playing like that. We can't come out and play like this versus defending champs and then go play Denver and don't bring the same energy. Like, as long as we bring the same energy every game, we're going to be a hard team to beat.
How do you make sure that the team brings the same energy?
Talk my shit before the game. Talk my shit before the game. You know what I'm saying? Put Lil Baby on, rap the lyrics. I get everybody hyped. We up. It's time to go.
They definitely were up for this one, and they were up early. I don't know if it's been too much energy or not being able to choose who is going to lead them at the start of games, but the Wolves have started bad the first three games. Those first quarters have been bad. Through the first three games, the Wolves, if you put those first quarters together, they were shooting 42% from two in the first quarters and 29% from three. Tonight in Milwaukee, they scored 44 first quarter points, and they were 73% from two, 60% from three. It just took a few minutes into the second quarter. They were up 54-34 against the defending champs. It was a really impressive start to the game. I mean, to be fair, we do have to note that the Bucks were without three of their normal starters, best players. Both Brook Lopez and Jrue Holiday did not play in this game, and Dante DiVincenzo remains out of the lineup for them. But we knew that coming in, and that's why we talked about on these last two pods about how the Wolves, we knew they had a real shot in this game. That's why we said we thought D'Angelo Russell had a real chance to get going tonight, and that's where this game started. D'Lo started hot. He had 10 points in the first 2.5 minutes. Without Holiday guarding him at the point of attack and without Lopez dropping to defend the rim there, those mid-range shots were there early for D'Lo. They were clean in the pick and roll. He came down, got the high screen, stepped into the mid-range, hit it. Same thing with the next shot, hit another mid-range, and that gets him going. He was feeling it then, and then he comes down and hits a three. That's 10 points, bam. First, like, what was that, 55 seconds, 2.5 minutes into the game. I mean, D'Lo had a rhythm. I mean, D'Lo is a player. This is what we're talking about. D'Lo is a player who can exploit imperfect drop coverage. And you know, that's what he did when the Bucks tonight didn't have Brook Lopez back there to contest the rim, didn't have Jrue Holiday there to lock it, to stay connected to his hip. D'Lo is a good, tough shot maker in those mid-range shots. And here's Chris Finch talking about that after the game tonight.
Yeah, it was just that pace, like that just quick decision-making, being decisive. You know, they were in drop coverage, and he does a really good job against that. And he came off, you know, listen, I mean, he's a really, really, really talented player, offensively gifted as I've ever seen, really, with all this dribbling, passing, and shooting. You know, he wasn't going to stay in the rhythm he was in forever, and he came out with a mission to get himself going, and that's exactly what we needed.
At the end of the night, D'Lo finished with 29 points, 5 boards, 6 assists. He was 9 of 14 from two-point range tonight. For D'Lo, that's huge. I mean, he isn't a player who's a force at the rim like Ant and like Kat are. So any of these games where he's shooting over 50% from two are huge. I mean, the Wolves' offense is going to be potent then. It opens up the Wolves' offense so much when D'Lo can get into that mid-range area and hit those two-point shots, because then the defense has to react to it. They had to do that tonight, and other guys got going. I mean, D'Lo finished the night 6 for 6 from two-point. Let's say that again. D'Lo was 6 for 6 on two-point shots outside of the paint tonight. That's huge. Also huge tonight, if you watch the game, Jared Vanderbilt, man, that dude got the start, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, and he was everywhere. I'm going to make... Early here in the show, I'm going to make Vanderbilt tonight's Forgotten Star of the Game, brought to you by Forgotten Star Brewery. If you watch the game, I mean, it was hard to forget. It really was, like I said, a rebounding highlight reel. Vanderbilt, I was thinking about it during the game. I mean, Vanderbilt might have the most rebounding talent for his size in the entire NBA. There's better rebounders out there, but, you know, it's like the Joel Embiids, the Rudy Goberts, those type of guys. I mean, as far as 6'9 athletes go, very few players, if any, in the league use their frames to be forces on the offensive and defensive glass more than Vanderbilt can. The Wolves came into this game far and away last in the league in defensive rebound rate, which is really just a fancy way of saying that nearly 40% of the time the Rockets and the Pelicans missed a shot that they got their own rebound. I mean, that's terrible. The Wolves have been getting crushed on the glass. And Vanderbilt gets the start tonight and pulls in 13 rebounds. That's huge. 13 rebounds while he's guarding Milwaukee's main ball handler in Giannis. That's hard to do. I mean, you can't understate how great Jared Vanderbilt was tonight. I mean, Vanderbilt does the normally forgettable stuff, the effort things. And that is exactly what the Wolves needed in the starting lineup tonight. I found it fascinating that Finch still decided to start Vanderbilt, even though the Bucks went small with Pat Connaughton at power forward. I mean, it's logical that you would want to start Vanderbilt against Giannis, but, you know, it didn't make as much sense on paper when you did the matchups of Wolves starting lineup versus the Bucks starting lineup. I wasn't sure for that reason if Finch was going to start Vando, because that then left the question of who's Cat going to guard. and Cat guarded Pat Connaughton. It was funky for sure watching Cat guard the 6'4" floor spacer, but it definitely proved to be worth it to put Vando on Giannis. I mean, Giannis definitely still did a ton of damage. He had 40 points, 16 rebounds. I mean, he's a freak, but you got to think about it. Like, what if there was no Vando in that game? Then it's just Cat that you can put on Giannis. You don't have other options on this roster. There's probably a huge opportunity cost there, right? Like, if Cat has to guard Giannis, one, he's then exerting way more energy on defense that he now can't probably assert on offense. And two, if Cat's guarding Giannis, the likelihood he gets in foul trouble goes way up. I thought Jim Pete put it really well on the broadcast. He said Cat was the quiet storm of the game. And, you know, part of that was literally being quiet, not talking to the refs, but just from straight basketball standpoint, Cat had 25 points on 13 shots, 5 assists. It was the exact role that the Wolves needed him to play tonight. And Cat was able to be that quiet storm tonight because of Jared Vanderbilt. So that's why Jared Vanderbilt was the forgotten star of the game tonight. There's no Wolves game on Friday night, so go check out Forgotten Star Brewery in Fridley. $1 off beers if you mention the show. Go buy a beer for Jared Vanderbilt. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, then talk some more game specifics, and we will then look ahead to the Denver Nuggets game 5 of the year on Saturday night. Today's show is brought to you by TickPick. Minnesota Timberwolves basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Wolves tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NBA tickets. If you can find better prices for the same seats on any other ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Visit TickPick.com/Dane Moore. My name, all one word, no spaces, today to save $10 on your first order of Wolves tickets. I heard from a handful of fans who use TickPick to purchase their tickets to the Wolves opener after hearing about it on the pod, and they found the experience to be both easier and more affordable than previous ticket sites they had been using. The Wolves do play 7 of their first 8 games at Target Center, and TickPick has you covered for all of those games. It was a blast to see fans at the opener matching the Wolves' energy on the floor on Wednesday night, and I look forward to more of that to come. Again, visit TickPick.com/Dane Moore. My name, all one word, no spaces, today to save $10 on your first order of Wolves tickets.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? you won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back talking about the Timberwolves' 113-108 win over the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday night. Let's talk about a few other wrinkles from this game. We just mentioned that Jared Vanderbilt started. That had a pretty big ripple effect. The rotations changed pretty completely. And just overall, the rotation tightened. If you listen to the pod I did with Britt on Tuesday, you heard me talk about how I thought the 11-man rotation might have to shrink. The Wolves had gone, they'd gone 10 in the first game, but that was because Patrick Beverley was suspended for that game. Games 2 and 3, they'd went 11 guys all the way down to all the way down to Jordan McLaughlin. Tonight it shrunk, and I thought that was going to happen, but I thought the most likely candidates to get pinched were in the two areas where the rotation was a little over freight, right? And that's the point guard position or that combo forward spot, which led me to believe or to look at Jordan McLaughlin maybe as being a guy who could be removed from the rotation completely or just kind of by process of elimination, maybe Taurean Prince being removed from the lineup. Well, Finch did keep McLaughlin in the rotation. He prioritized that third point guard role, and he chose to pinch the combo forward spot. But it wasn't Taurean Prince who got the DMP. It was Josh Okogie. Now, that makes some sense because Prince and Okogie play the same position, but Okogie being the one who was completely removed was a bit surprising given that he had been the starting forward, small forward, power forward, however you want to put it. He started the first three games. So I don't know if this is a dot to connect completely, but tonight, Vando starting meant no Okogie at all. And then the game flow also led to very little Naz Reid and also very little Jordan McLaughlin. Naz played 9.5 minutes. McLaughlin played 5.5. I mean, if Cat's going to be playing 38 minutes a night, 10 is obviously going to be the cap for Naz unless, you know, he starts playing some next to Cat at the same time. But we haven't seen that at all this year. And if D'Lo's going to play his full complement of minutes, and we know Pat Bev's going to play a lot, play some even next to D'Lo, well, then there just isn't really much space for McLaughlin. My kind of operating assumption is that this is going to be sort of the standard for Naz and J-Mac. You know, there might be times like that second game where, you know, J-Mac gets an opportunity, he kind of sparks the offense, and he gets a little extended run, maybe at the cost of Beverly or something like that, or D'Lo just has a maybe plays 29 minutes that game. And then, you know, Naz will obviously play more in games when Cat's in foul trouble. But the real question here with these rotation guys is Josh Okogie, you know, what's going to happen? I mean, if Vanderbilt is going to be the starter going forward, and I don't know how you could put him back on the bench after that game, you know, where do Okogie's minutes come from, if anywhere? I mean, it would have to be Prince or Beasley, right? But, I mean, those guys are already pretty low. Like, Prince played 16 tonight. Beasley played 17 tonight. That's about what Beasley's been playing, and he's, you know, one of the highest-paid players on this team. It'll be interesting to monitor going forward. I mean, this is the reality of when you got 11 guys that you can go deep. I mean, 11 rotation players, there's just not enough minutes out there for all of them. The pecking order, as I see it now in terms of minutes, is getting pretty clear now as we're getting to four games now into the season, and that's, you know, first tier, that's Cat, Ant, and D'Lo. Then I think in the second tier by himself, also in the starting lineup, is Jaden McDaniels. The third tier, we got Vanderbilt and Beverly in that kind of fifth, sixth man role. Then after that, it's Malik Beasley and Taurean Prince as the wing depth. And behind them, it's just the, you know, it's that ninth, 10th, 11th man spot. It's just crumbs for Naz, J-Mac, and Okogie. Obviously, we haven't seen Lehman, Noel, Bolmaro, or Knight at all. In real minutes, they're all clearly out of the rotation for this team. All right, let's hit on some other bullets from this game. We'll do that again by rattling through my prize picks over unders. My really dumb pick tonight was taking the under on 30.5 points for Giannis. Again, he had 40. My thinking was, you know, we know the whole Wolves defensive scheme is about putting an emphasis on tamping down you know, opponents at the rim, right? And I knew there would be an added influence on that tonight, or, you know, insistence on, right, trying to have the whole mentality of make someone other than Giannis beat us. Like, that was the game plan. And that didn't happen. But better than I can explain it, Ant explained that after the game tonight. So we got to do another Ant clip. Here's what Ant had to say post-game about playing against Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, you can't stress about him scoring. Like, that's what he's going to do. I mean, motherfucker, Sam 2, 280 pounds. Like, ain't nothing you can do about him. Like, shit, we put four people on him. Motherfucker still scored the ball. Like, I was telling Leo today, I was like, because we played Giannis last year. I'm like, bro, I ain't never seen nothing like it. Like, you can put four people on him. He might miss it, jump right back up, dunk that bitch. I mean, like, it's nothing you can do about it. So him scoring the ball it doesn't amaze none of us. We like, this is what he do. You know what I'm saying? But I can't even say we contained him. He still went for 40. Like, the game plan was to not let him beat us, and we came out victorious, but he still went for 40. I mean, he's amazing, man. There's nothing I can say about Giannis. He's unstoppable. I don't know what to say.
So me and Ant got that one wrong. My one good call of the night, though, was D'Lo over 18.5 points. He got that early, and for the reasons we talked about above. We'll see how much D'Lo can get this to be, you know, not a blip. The Wolves to be a threat, you know. I mean, D'Lo only has to be the third guy, but D'Lo's got to be the third guy. And tonight we for sure saw that. We saw what a weapon he can be as the third guy. The one pick I wish I could have back is me picking over 10.5 rebounds for Cat. I made the pick on Twitter before I knew Vanderbilt was starting. I knew the Bucks were going small, so I thought that meant that Finch would again start Okogie, and that would leave, you know, Cat out there as the main rebounder. If that's the case, I felt like, you know, 10, 11, 12 rebounds for Cat was a lock. Had I known Vando was starting, I would not have made that pick. Cat, because of Vando, only had 3 rebounds in this game, and that's because Vanderbilt had 13 boards himself. But also, you know, Jaden McDaniels got in the mix. He had 11. In the first 3 games, Jaden McDaniels had only had 8 total defensive rebounds. It's a big reason behind why the Wolves were dead last in the league in defensive rebound rate. But tonight, he had 10. 11 total rebounds, but 10 on the defensive end, so that was huge. I can test that pick because I didn't know the Vando was starting, but I'll take the L there. I did squeak my way to 2-2 by picking George Hill over 8.5 points. I actually thought, to be honest, I thought Hill would have a pretty big game with Drew Holiday out, but it took him almost the entire game to get over by 0.5 point. He hit that corner 3 at the end, which got him to 9 points. I'll take it, though. 2-2 on the night. So now I'm 8-7 on the season. Feel like I should be doing better than that, but that's still over 500. If you think you can do better than me, you're probably right. You can sign up, play these over-unders at Prize Picks. Just download the Prize Picks app. It's super easy. Really, just looking at the stats, it's a fun thing to kind of track during the game. I'm even just having fun, like, looking at the box score while these are going on, mostly because I literally have to face you, or at least this microphone, to talk about it after everyone in the game. So sign up at Prize Picks, and if you do, please use the promo code Dane, D-A-N-E. That lets them know where you came from, and it also gets you a $100 sign-up bonus. That's probably more important. So check out Prize Picks. Let's wrap up this pod by looking ahead to Denver and the Nuggets. I don't mean to get you too excited, but Denver doesn't look very good right now. This afternoon, I watched their game from Monday where they played the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Nuggets lost to Ricky Rubio, Kevin Love, and those Cavs in Denver. It was a home game they lost to the Cavs. That's the only full Nuggets game I've watched, but they looked really sloppy in that game. And, you know, I guess I would kind of think that that was, you know, a blip for them. But judging by their numbers so far this season, that sloppiness on both ends of the floor seems to be a feature and not a bug. The Nuggets currently rank 27th on defense in the NBA. They've been bad. They were really bad. And what I watched in this Cavs game, really the Cavs, the Cavs go huge in the front. I mean, you guys should watch the Cavs. They're the weirdest team. They start Jared Allen at center, 7 foot. They start Evan Mobley 7'1" at power forward, and they start Lauri Markkanen 7' at small forward. They're literally like the pocket turned inside out of the Timberwolves. But the Cavs really picked apart the Nuggets on the interior, and yeah, the Nuggets defense looked bad. Offensively, if you look at the stats, the Nuggets ranked 10th on offense, but they look sloppy on that side of the ball too. And over four games, the Nuggets are 2-2, but over four games, only two teams in the NBA are turning the ball over more frequently than the Nuggets are. Can you guess who those two teams are? Pause. Yep, it's the Rockets and the Pelicans, the two teams that the Wolves played in large part. I'd like to think in large part due to the Wolves' defense. Maybe they're just bad teams. I don't know, to be determined. But yeah, the Nuggets are turning the ball over a lot. Should be another opportunity for the Wolves' defense to, you know, spark some offense by having turnovers lead into points. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, main concern with this team, and he did look great in this Cavs game. It's a lot more, it seems to be, about the surrounding pieces in Denver. Michael Porter Jr. obviously has a much bigger role this year with Jamal Murray out, and he is not off to a good start to this season. Unimpressive in the Cavs game. His numbers look poor through four games thus far this season. The one player I was impressed with from the film that I watched in that one game was Aaron Gordon. I had him down in my notes as someone I was worried about the Wolves being able to contain on Saturday. But as I sit here now after watching this Milwaukee game, not going to lie, I feel a lot better about being able to control Gordon now after watching what Vanderbilt did against Giannis. This might sound dumb, but I think Gordon kind of is like a poor man's Giannis, at least stylistically. I think Vando's a good matchup for him. And if we assume Vanderbilt's going to be in the starting lineup, I do. I think the Wolves match up pretty well against the Nuggets. I mean, Vanderbilt on Gordon. If you do that, then you can put McDaniels on Porter Jr., which is, you know, a lot of size to put on big Porter Jr. That's the best option the Wolves have there, I think. And then Ant gets Will Barton, and Monte Morris is a pretty good place to be able to put D'Lo. Obviously, Cat on Jokic by default, that'll be the main focus of that game. But, you know, if Cat can play Jokic to a draw, I think the Wolves could find an advantage those other four spots in the starting lineup. Generally speaking, I'd say Denver is a bigger team on the schedule, and, you know, that's never good news if you're the Wolves. But really, all of Denver's size is kind of concentrated in their starting lineup. Jeff Green and Jamichael Green are the other two bigs that the Nuggets play. I think they're good players, but they're not exactly bigs you're too concerned about. They're not bigs that are going to physically overwhelm you. So if the Wolves basically put all their bigs chips in the middle when the starting lineup by starting Vanderbilt, signing McDaniels to the three, I don't see this as being a game where, you know, the Wolves are kind of cutting off one of their legs before it starts by just being way smaller than the opponent. One injury note on Denver is that Nikola Jokic did leave Tuesday's game against Utah with a knee bruise. Word out of Denver, I guess unfortunate for the Wolves, is that it's not too serious. So you would assume that he's going to be active for that game. What I will say, though, is that Denver is coming to town on the back end of a back-to-back. They play at home against Dallas on Friday, and then they fly to Minnesota on Saturday. Is it possible Jokic sits one of those games, the back-to-back? I think so. Would it be weird if the one of the two games he sat was the second one? Yeah, so I'm anticipating he plays. So I don't know if the back-to-back's all that helpful in that way, but either way, it's back-to-back for the Nuggets. While the Wolves are off on both Thursday and Friday, they will definitely be the more rested team when the Nuggets come to town. It'll be another test for the Wolves. I think, well, before this Milwaukee game, you know, Britt and I were talking on pod about how, like, the old Wolves would have lost to both Milwaukee and to Denver. And then, you know, the Orlando Magic come to town on Monday, and they would have taken care of business there. That's what the old Wolves would have done, right? And, you know, then they'd be talking about, oh, you know, still 3-3, even though we lost to Milwaukee and Denver. And at 3-3, we're 500, we're in the playoff mix. That's, like, old, classic old Wolves optimism. Well, I think there's legitimate reason for optimism now. They beat Milwaukee, so that's one clear first step away from the old ways. You know, taking care of Denver too, at home, if you're a good team, now you finish October at 4-1. If you do that, you're sending a message. Even if those teams, you know, I guess the Rockets were at full strength, but they don't really have full strength. And the Pelicans missing Zion, both of those games. Obviously, the Bucks were shorthanded. Even with that context, it's starting 4-1 is nothing to sneeze. I mean, that would be an impressive start to the year. So I don't know, man. This team remains interesting. I'm excited to keep talking about them, keep watching these games. If I'm not back later this week with another pod with a guest, not sure on that yet. If not, I will be back to talk to you after that Nuggets game on Saturday night. It's a big one. Until then, I'm Dane. Thanks for listening. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah.